Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Wells Cast with Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What up? Hills Cast edition of the Wells Cast, which means we're going to be talking everything that's happening on the Hills New Beginnings, which is airing now on Wednesday nights. MTV, listen, you guys know how much I love Justin Bobby. He's the most normal dude on the freaking show. I'm going to go ahead and say it, all right? He's just the most even-keeled, rational dude. Does he make some questionable fashion choices? Maybe. But other than that, man, he is just steady Eddie when it comes to the show. It's almost like he shouldn't be on the show. Like, he's too normal for the show. Which is why I'm so excited to have him on this show today to break down episode 2 of The Hills New Beginnings. I will say, I was a little skeptical as to how well Season 2 is going to do, just because I didn't love Season 1, but we're off to a roaring start, dude. Episode 1 was fantastic. Second one, pretty good. Yeah, Audrina going on a second date with freaking Rod Stewart's son, who, where did this guy come from? We meet Brody's new girlfriend. I mean, like, where did this girl come from? We go to Brandon's house and we realize the man can make a mean charcuterie board. This guy's all about picnic life, by the way. Whitney comes back into the fold. Where's she been? The Wallers get super personal with having baby number 2. We realize that Brody's mom is a national treasure and she must be preserved at all costs. We learn nothing new about Heidi because we all knew that she couldn't cook. And we realize that of all the people who have stopped drinking or gone to rehab on this show, the two that probably need it most are still very much drinking in Heidi and Spencer. There is so much to break down in this episode, and I'm so excited to have the voice of reason, the normal dude who's going to teach me how to apply some guy liner today, Justin Bobby. And don't forget, at the end of the interview, we're going to have Chloe from Siesta Key come on. We'll do a quick rundown with her about last night's episode as well. It's all coming up right here on The Hills Cast. This is one you do not want to miss, baby!
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Hillscast, The Hill's New Beginnings, airing Wednesday night, 9 Eastern on MTV. I'm so excited because last season we didn't get to have this guest on. And this is someone who I have said from the beginning, I feel like is the most normal, the voice of reason in a world full of crazies. Justin Bobby on the show. How are you, man?
What's up? That was very sweet of you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you believe that? Because like when I was on reality shows, I was always known as the voice of reason. And I'm not sure if I think that that was true. But as I watched it back, I was like, yeah, the things that I said were the most normal things. I never did anything crazy. And it seems like at least this season, and for the most part, a lot of last season, you are coming across as the most well-balanced human on the hills. Do you feel that way?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to accept something like that. And then I think I look at things through a little bit of a different lens. And I don't like drink on the show or whatnot. I kind of treat it like a business. So I kind of think I get to see things a little bit more clearly than some of the castmates. And then I'm just 100. I'm just pretty much, you know, what you see is what you get. So I got nothing to hide. So maybe that works for me.
Yeah. And I think it's a smart way to go about it. Obviously, you know, you're going to be on TV, so you don't want to like get, cocked on a bottle of blackberry brandy like Spencer and Heidi do every episode. Before we get into all of that, I mean, I got to ask like the hard hitting questions. How are things between you and Audrina right now?
Very good. Really good, actually. We started to reconnect towards the end of the season, which was pretty nice. Because last season I came off tour, she was dealing with the divorce and, you know, her whole life that was probably flipped upside down more than we'll ever know. But it's kind of like the dust settled and I've been home since COVID, so I haven't been able to just fleet like I do. And there's like a little rekindle and it's like friendship, but it's very comfortable. So
this is the way that I perceive your guys' relationship. We have in our lives high school sweethearts.
that like will forever like hold an important place in your life because they were there during very formative years. But as you've like grown and matured and advanced in your life, you realize that person is special because of that time in your life, but can never be like the thing that they were then to you now because you are now completely different people. Is that how you perceive your relationship with her now?
You would think so, but Audrina had we all were very, very young. So I would see a pretty young side to her that would almost keep me away at times because there's certain scenarios that would happen. And I just know she would handle it differently than as today. It feels like what she went through with the divorce, and I don't want to keep bringing that up. It's not my business, but what she went through matured her immensely. And seeing her now I see her in a different light. As before, it was more playful and more like cat and mousey. And, you know, we could hang out and then let it go. But the fact that she's been through it, I see a full woman now. And I like seeing her like that. It's like she came into her own. And that's attractive. That's attractive for any male to see like a woman that's kind of done her thing, been through it a little bit and knows what she wants. And there's no more like immaturity about it. So I think it's different than what normal people would think.
When it comes to this kind of subplot storyline between her and Brody and this kiss or whatever it was, you know, during the poker game scene last night, it seems like you're really, really fine with it and cool with it. Is that really how you felt, or is it weird?
It's not weird. I think it's been enough time, right? Like, I mean, you go, I don't know how long it's been since Audrina and I hung out, 8 years, 6 years, I don't even know. But at that point, I can't get mad at any of that. There's no way. I think it's kind of funny, but I mean, she always kind of had a keen eye for Brody, you know? It's like, they always, you know, chicks do. They like, they, you know, there's that little thing where they like, I want to make out with them, you know, that kind of feel. So I don't know. It didn't bother me. I mean, if it makes her happy, I don't think he's ready for a commitment. She might be, but yeah, it didn't bother me too much. Maybe it didn't bother me too much because I don't think it'll go anywhere.
Yeah. Fair enough, actually. In the first episode, you talk about kind of like your sojourn out of the country during COVID. You go to Mexico, but it's kind of vague as to like what you're doing in Mexico. Were you just kind of escaping or like getting away from it all? Like what was happening in Mexico while the pandemic was raging on here in America?
Well, when that shit hit, we knew an Indonesian consulate guy at the consulate in downtown LA, and we tried to leave to get to Indonesia right when it hit, and we got our stamps of approval to leave. And then the day before we left, they shut down international travel over there. So our whole plan was just to get to Indonesia and ride this thing out over there where it was safe, and we're on the beach and we're just surfing our brains out. So that got cut short. And then one of my best friends, Billy, he's like a complete journeyman. And he was like, Mexico, if we can't do there, Mexico. And I was like, let's go. So he had like the Sprinter van, the Mercedes Sprinter van with everything decked out. And we just split. We got through the border before they shut that border down. And we just went as far south as we could. We surfed and camped out and ate, read books, played music, and would just tap in here and there to see what was going on in the real world. And then be like, no, it's not time to come back yet. So we did that. And it was actually perfect. I mean, we weren't hurting anybody. We couldn't have been hurt. So it worked out. It worked out perfect. And for me, If I was stuck here, I would have lost my damn mind. I mean, not being able to do anything. I love being home and doing my own thing. And I think being by yourself is very, very mature, but you want to do it on your own terms, right? So
where were you in Mexico? Like, where are the main places you were surfing?
It's like Scorpion Bay, super down south, like 21 hours driving. It was Baja, all through Baja. We'd stop, we'd camp, we'd eat. And it was like, it felt like COVID hadn't hit there yet. They were still figuring out, like they didn't even know what that was. They knew, but it was so separated that it didn't even matter. So we still felt the vibe of like, it wasn't as severe. But then we heard the numbers, what was going on here. And we're like, oh my God.
Were you going to stay there if not for the show coming back? Like, did they hit you up and be like, hey, no more surfing, you got to drive back up?
And, no, I came back before that. It was time. Like I wanted to come back and check on, you know, family and friends and kind of just poke my head in and see what was going on. I did my time down there. I let like the grunt of it happen up here. And then, and I just came back. I had a band and everything. Like, they were like, what did you do? I was like, I split. Fuck you guys. I split.
Going back to the show, who do you consider as like your closest friend from the cast?
This season, to be honest, it was Jason. You haven't seen it yet, but me and him developed a real kinship. We grew up literally 15, 20 minutes from each other in completely different worlds. I was a little bit more, you know, from the hood. He wasn't, but we had a similar connection. So this season, you'll see us like the two oddities meet and have a very similar vibe story in different ways, though. So you'll see that. So I'll say Jason.
We had him on the show last week and he said the exact same thing to that answer for you, which makes me happy.
See,
you're my two favorite guys on the show. It seems like you're the most real and relatable on the show. I think that you're like the most yourselves. Whereas I think for other people on the show, and this isn't even a question, this is just a statement as someone who's watching it, it just seems like a little put on. And when I come across that in reality shows, it just comes across as inauthentic. And then I'm like, next scene, let's get the out of here. But for you guys, it does seem seem pretty authentic. Brandon's like coming out of the woodwork. Last season I was like, who is this kid? And then this season I'm like, oh, I actually I believe all the things he's saying. He seems like a sweet kid. He seems like his heart's in the right place. Mm-hmm. And I like his storyline as well.
Yep. I agree with you there. There's definitely some cast members that they don't got it figured out, and it's getting a little scary because time is ticking and you wonder if they ever will get it. But that's not for me. That's not my journey. It's just, you know, I like them as friends and stuff like that. So let them ride it out the way they will. But yeah, I know who's true and who's not. So
I think the audience does as well. All right, let's get into the episode. Before we started recording, I asked if you had watched it. You said you hadn't watched it. So I'm just going to kind of like recap this for you.
Okay.
And you can just kind of give me your thoughts on it all. I mean, the first scene, Heidi and Spencer have like this double date with Audrina and Rod Stewart's son. I don't know if you watched the first episode, but Sean and Audrina have this date and it's the most awkward because you can tell he's just sweating and he's just so nervous and he's shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. And then I feel like in this episode, he's not as nervous, but he's so sunburned. Dude, where were you right before this happened? Put on some sunscreen. You're not ready for that. I guess my question for you is, as someone who was with Audrina, are you buying any of this? Are you happy for? Is this just weird? Is it forced?
You know what's really funny about that is I got to meet Sean right off the bat, and me and him hit it off, I think, more than any castmate. We talk fairly often. I've gone up to his house now. Like, we became a pretty tight duo for a second. And the guy is aces. The guy is like, you know, he genuinely liked her for who she was. And for some reason, Audrina just doesn't like somebody who's genuinely into them, I guess. I don't know what it is. It was like, it was kind of mind boggling because he was quirky. He was cool. There was no, like, he had no backhanded agenda. He like, you know, and he cared about her and he was trying to be funny. Like, he just genuinely tried to make her feel like the woman that she is. And I've even talked to him even off camera, and he's just a straight shooter with her. And it's kind of funny to see that she was like, thanks, but no thanks. And it's like, this is what you've been crying for years, is to have something like this. And you kind of have it right on a silver platter. And you're just like, no thanks. I'll go the Brody route. So I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I get it. I know exactly what she's doing, but I'm like, that's too bad because he is a solid guy. And I don't know what they showed, but he's very funny and he's very intelligent and he's very giving. And he's a pick up the phone, the first ring type of guy. And you don't get that often, especially with his background and, you know, his family and stuff. For him to be as down to earth as he is, I commend the guy. So I have nothing bad to say about him. I like him.
Well, I'm bummed out for this guy's edit because Jason kind of echoed the same thing last week of being like, this guy's funny and cool and chill. And I do feel like he's kind of getting the doofus edit. So hopefully that like evolves as the show goes on. Second scene, we go to Brody's house and we meet Brody's new girlfriend. We're not sure exactly how old she is. I think with the last we counted, I've done 90 episodes. of paradise. I've never once been asked to get naked into a bubble bath. This poor girl, Amber, her first scene ever is naked in a bubble bath with Brody. I guess my question to you is, have they ever asked you to be naked in a scene?
No, they actually haven't. No, they don't. Oh, you know what? I think series one back in the day, I think I jumped in the pool with like the banana hammock on.
Yeah.
And I did my first like kiss scene with Audrina. I think they asked for that. So I did do that. I like it. I mean, sex sells for the most part. So I like the fact that, you know, we're going to that route. We're showing a little bit more and it's a little less PG than what it's always been. So, I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, she was cute. So, and she's from where I live. So I was like, rad. If she looked hot on camera, then let's go.
We go to Brandon's house. He's got this girlfriend who's total smoke show in Danny, but it seems like she's not 100% back with him, which is totally understandable. You get to meet Danny at this poker game. What's your like initial thought on Brandon's girlfriend?
Young girl. I mean, it's hard. We're in our late 30s and a 19-year-old starts popping around. It's like, you're just young. I don't know what she would have to say that would be of significance at that age, but it's like, okay. Like, she seems sweet and she has a little, you know, tight head on her shoulders from what it looked like. But I mean, I couldn't really relate after High and By.
Yeah. The next scene after that, Audrina goes and hangs out with Whitney, which I don't believe Whitney was in the first episode. Do we see a lot of her this season or is it kind of sparingly?
Yeah, it's sparingly. I think, she does the family thing and she's really focused on that. I think, whatever else she's got in her career, but I don't think the Hills has been a big part of it lately. So I haven't seen her much this season, but maybe I hear she films with the girls. So possibly.
I think my favorite part of the episode is when Brody goes and visits his mom, who seems like she is the raddest chick on this show. No offense to anybody else, but the advice that this woman gives, the nuggets of wisdom that come out of her mouth are aces. Mm. It's absolutely beautiful. Is she, because you grew up with Brody. I'm sure you were around her a lot. Is she as dope in with cameras off as she is with them on?
Yeah. What you see is what you get. It's kind of nice. And she's always very lovely when I see her, and even, you know, time can go by and it's like, you know, time, no time left at all. And she's very loving and Brody's lucky to have, you know, her as a mom for sure.
Heidi and Jennifer bake a cake. Heidi's bad at that. The shocker. And then here comes poker night. And I think we're just driving towards this. You're just driving towards the two trains on the tracks coming and just hitting head on. One, I will say, Brandon makes a f***ing mean charcuterie plate, so good on him, I guess. The man loves like a picnic setup. Like, that's just what that is. We know that Jason has a drinking and a gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
Are we surprised that he shows up to gamble?
I mean, you gotta let a brother live a little bit. I mean, having a poker night with the boys, it's not like he's in the casino just running back and forth to the ATM. You know, and he's not slamming drinks with us and, you know, at his home life, I'm sure his home life is hectic with his wife and the kids and, you know, whatever's coming forward. It's like the guy wants to have a night out with the boys and play a little poker. Let him do it. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I would do that anyway.
So Spencer starts drinking because he doesn't want to play poker at poker night, which is like, I don't know why you're going to poker night if you don't want to play poker, but.
He said something about he's got to save his funds for his college. And I'm like, dude, you got like, I don't know if that's fake Gucci then or what, but you got like Gucci everything. You can't drop $500 on a poker night. I don't get it. But
he must have spent all that money on the Don Julio who's drinking anyways, because it seemed like it was going down like water.
Yeah, him and Frankie, I think, had a good night that night.
Yeah, but Frankie seems like doesn't kind of go off the rails, I guess. I said this in the intro. It doesn't seem like you drink a lot on the show. You might drink outside of it, but it seems like you are a pretty like level-headed dude always. Then you have Jason, who's a recovering alcoholic, so he's never drinking. Then you have Brandon, who is not drinking because he's, I guess, a recovering alcoholic. And then you have Brody, who like has had this epiphany this past year and is just not drinking at all. It's like this kind of sad, but also weirdly humorous thing that's happening. Whereas like the one person that probably does need to stop drinking is the one person who is drinking the entire time. And is that not, is that lost upon you guys? Or are you guys all like, dude, what are you doing?
With Spencer?
Yes.
I don't know. I've never known him not to drink. So I don't know what not drinking Spencer's like, to be honest. I don't know. It is kind of funny. Like, you know, a big chunk of the cast doesn't drink. And I think it's because we learned our lesson. I mean, I had some too many beers a couple of times and I would see myself on a playback and I was like, man, each of us have individual fans. And if they look up to us, I don't want them to see me in that light. And you know what? I mean, we're all selling in some kind of way. So I don't want somebody to look at me and just think that thought, like, you know, for me, it's not a very good look. I'm not into it. So I don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, in the episode you express how it's just like not a cute look. Here's my question. As someone who's just watching the show, if it weren't for the show, would the majority of you guys be friends with Heidi and Spencer?
I think so. I mean, we're all literally separated by 6 degrees, 7 degrees of separation. So it's like, you know, something pops up, we all hear about it some kind of way. And even though we don't get to maybe see each other as much because we all live in different areas and life goes on and careers or whatnot, you know, you still hear through the grapevine what's going on and people do check in. And when we do see each other again, it's like, God, we got to do this more. And it's funny because we're such an eclectic bunch that, you know, in a room together, like, I don't look like I hang out with them. You should see them. My core group of friends would, you know, it'd be like fucking a shit show, but for some reason we work, and it's cool that it does work, and it's nice to show people that although we're so different, we're still very, very similar. And I stay in contact as much as I can, but I'm pretty nomadic. Like, I leave and I just tell them, hey, I know you got, like, Frankie's the one most that's like, dude, where you go, dude? Why you fucking leave all the time? And I'm like, man, you know that, just love me. And he's like, okay. And then now they get it. So now they get that I leave and I come back, and it's like no time has passed, right?
The last thing that we kind of see is this girls' night, where it's, you know, it's this funny juxtaposition between what's happening at the poker night and what's happening with the girls' night. You know, Spencer's getting turned up at your guys' function. Heidi's getting turned up at the ladies' function. Heidi just keeps on pouring champagne into people's glasses who aren't drinking champagne. And they're like, dude, like, this was tequila. Like, this is going to taste like piss now. Like, I would just be like, dude, stop doing this.
They definitely bring it. You know, they bring it. They turn it up, and every, you know, all the group traveling we do, they're really fun. They have a good time with it. I don't know if it kicks them in the ass some days or not, but, you know, they're the first ones to be like, you know, they love to come in late and show up fashionably late and be the first one to cheers and the last ones to stay, kind of thing. So that's just their vibe.
Do you like doing this show? Like, if they order a season 3, are you back in? Or at some point are you like, all right, we've done it, we've said enough, I need to go?
Before, I was kind of out. After series 1, I was out because I wasn't really believing what I was watching and seeing so much, to be honest. I was like, did that happen? Did that not happen? And it started off like they kicked me off on a bad foot, like with Audrina from the get-go. Like, I left her and stuff like that. And I really didn't. It was like the first moments of courtship, and, you know, you can't be as severely in a relationship like that. But it's fun to see what's going on now and hearing about what's going on now, because it does seem pretty spot on. So I like that there's a bit more realness, and I love like the stuff that you don't think they would show, I've been hearing they're showing. So that's cool. Like, for me, I'm like, yeah. So it intrigues me more, and I like to see where the storylines are going, and I like to see where, you know, what's going on in these people's lives. Because before, I think it was really hard to get story out of everybody, and you kind of just had to make it work and with what they got. So it was kind of confusing a lot of the times, and now it feels like there's a rhythm happening. And I think that has a lot to do with Megan. We have a new producer, Megan, and she's, from the get-go, she's just been very real, very upfront, very understanding, very open, and we like that. And I think you're going to get that because of her in this season, and hopefully the next.
What happens next for you? Because you just seem like right now, as the even keel gives wisdom to all these idiots running around. Do we focus in on your personal life? Is there some ladies that come in for you down the road, or are you just the Justin Bobby shaman for the rest of the season?
No, I love women, but I'm just not dumb about it. I've been dumb when I was young, and I realized at a young age that you got to pay attention when you start to let yourself be with somebody for an amount of time. But I think this season, it was more or less me tapping into my own self, not being able to run forever, not being able to get up and tour. COVID really put a change in my head on what might be real. You know, I'm still in my 30s, but I'm starting to think of like something a little bit more mature and a little bit more serious. So maybe in the future, yeah, if there's a season 3, because they're shooting what we're kind of doing. So yeah, I think so. I like what they're doing with right now. I just brought my father on, and he's been aces on this thing, and people seem to like him, and he gets the real out of me, even more real, because I came from him. So he just is who he is. So you see him and then you understand me more. So I don't mind showing that, as long as it showed in the light that we're doing it in, I'm fine. It's when you do the right thing and then they show it differently is what was getting at me. If you don't show what I'm doing, then now I don't like you, because now you're not real. And then what is this all about? So I feel like getting this is important, and it makes me want to give more. I got nothing to hide, maybe some things, but it inspires me to be like, oh, let's tell a real story then. And if you want to listen and partake, then come along for the ride.
Outside the show, you have a band. What's going on with that? I mean, obviously it's tough to tour right now because of COVID. So like what is on the horizon for your artistic career?
We just actually got back. We did a Seattle tour. We went all the Seattle and Santa Cruz, and we had a little short tour studio, and then the world's opened back up. So we have festivals lined up, new albums coming out. And so we're kind of back on. I was in the studio last night till 2 a.m. It's full rock and roll. And then I'm actually currently shooting my first feature. It's called The Chimera Effect. And it just came into my lap during the season of The Hills, and I play a lead in it. So I've just been really studying for that. And I did some acting stuff when I was younger, and I don't know, but I'm going to try it out and see how it goes. And it's been really fun. It's a really cool project with great people. And it's nice to get out of some of this bullshit, you know what I mean, that I'm doing with the reality, and actually sink my teeth into something that's not me, because I'm tired of being me on the show.
Not to speak for everyone watching, but I think we enjoy watching you be you on the show. Justin Bobby, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for being
thank you.
On the show, dude. Yeah. Been looking forward to talking with you and meeting you. You've got a good vibe. This is going to sound so Hollywood, but like a good aura about you. I want to know, what are the things that like you read or you listen to? What is your shit that you really identify with that like makes you you?
You know, I really just try to listen to my gut. I mean, a lot of people don't. Like, you can listen to your head, your heart, but I really try to listen to my intuition first and make right decisions. And I try to pay attention to think before I speak. And, you know, if I go into a friendship or relationship, like, is this beneficial for both of us? Is somebody going to be dragging behind? Do I need, you know, like, I try to make right decisions before the decision's made. So as for reading, I pick up books and then, I'll put them down, but I do stuff that makes me happy. I'm looking at the beach right now, and I'll get in that water and I'll get in the studio, and I got 4 Harleys in the garage right now I'm about to tinker on. And just being nomadic for me is my zen, and it helps me grow better as a person, because I think a lot of people are staticky and they suck off of you. And especially if you're in a better place than them, if you're in a good place, people, they love to be around it, don't know how to deal with it, try to change it. And I think just me doing me is what works best for now.
When it comes to being a nomad, this is something I've always wondered, because I've got friends that are, I feel like, are like you. The question is, when you live that type of life, are you running away from something or running towards something?
Both, dude. I had a childhood where my parents split at 3 years old, and I didn't know what like togetherness was, right? I never saw my parents kiss. I never saw them hold hands. I never saw Christmases together like that. So yeah, it's running, but at the same time, it's it's developed who I am. And I feel like if I was that 23-year-old with, you know, a wife and kids, I don't know, I think my fucking soul would just kill itself. That's how I feel, because I don't know that life. I mean, I understand it and I work every day on trying to understand myself a little bit more. I do self-help. I'll go to mediums. I pay attention. I listen. So that part of me is healed, so I can have that life someday. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because me coming a little bit from the hood and just living what I've lived and the shit that I've gone through, like, it's going to make me the best father, the best husband. It's going to make me the best friend you'll ever have. And I'm proud to be that. So it doesn't really bother me too much.
I feel like I could talk to you forever, but I'm going to be respectful of your time and let you go. Where can everyone follow you to keep up with everything that's going on with your life, man?
You can't, man. You honestly can't. I turned off right when COVID hit. I turned off all my social media. I haven't been on it at all. So you can't really find me. You just got to watch me on TV, I guess, and see me on a show. Come to a show, listen to us play, and, you know, come see this movie, The Chimera Effect, when it comes out. I'm going to stay mystical, man. I feel like people that did TV and played music and stuff were so much more admirable back in the day, when you had to see them for what they were, not what their life was about. And it keeps this, you know, it keeps a star bright. Elvis and you couldn't see him. You had to hear that he was playing on the radio. You had to hear him on the radio that he was going to be playing somewhere, and people drive hundreds of miles to go see that figure. I mean, if Elvis had social media today, he wouldn't be anything. So trying to go vintage with it.
You can catch Justin Bobby, of course, on The Hills, New Beginnings Wednesdays, 9 Eastern MTV. And then obviously go listen to his music, go see him play live. Chimera Effect coming out 2022.
Yeah, maybe sooner.
Cool.
Maybe sooner. Yeah. It's getting the cans and everything. It's gonna be a good thing.
Dope, dude. Hey man, nice talking with you, brother. Keep doing you, man.
Oh, thank you. God bless.
Later, dude. See you. All right, Justin Bobby was exactly like Justin Bobby is on TV, which is awesome. He's like my friend Dean Unglert. He's this guy that continues to, like, travel around and squeeze every last drop out of this lemon, which is life. And I am so jealous that there are people like that live that way. And there's just no way I could do it, because I would absolutely lose my mind, because I'd be like, well, what about the dogs and taxes and all that kind of stuff? But I just love talking to people like that, because I just can't be them, and I wish I could. All right, quick break. When we come back, we are going to have Chloe from Siesta Key on. We're going to talk about, well, her new beginnings, because apparently she's changing everything around. We'll get into it. Stick around. You're listening to The Hills Cast / Wells Cast.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Wells Cast slash Hills Cast slash, I guess we can now call it like the Siesta Key cast, because the past two episodes we've had bookending our Hills Talk is stars from Siesta Key, which actually airs right before the Hills, so I guess it makes total sense. Today on the show is a lady that is completely, I guess, transforming her life right before our eyes. Chloe, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, you're doing this whole, like, I'm changing who I am. I'm going to be the better version of myself, which is something that I think a lot of people can relate to, you know, especially when out of college and all of a sudden you're like, I'm an adult now. I need to, you know, like, put away childish things. It's something that everyone can relate to, but it seems to be that on the show, no one believes that this is a real thing for you. How are you internalizing that?
Well, at first I was very frustrated that they weren't, you know, believing me. I did a lot of my transformation and my inner work during quarantine. So we were all, you know, separated. So they hadn't seen me for a while. And then when we started up filming again, it had been like 7 months. So they were like, wait, you can't all of a sudden be a different person. That doesn't make any sense. So it was frustrating because I felt like I had to prove myself, and I don't feel like anyone should have to ever prove themselves to anyone. But with my circumstances of how much I did change, and I know that I put a lot of my cast members through it all the previous 3 years. So I tried to be as patient as possible, but in the next episode, next week, you see, I have a complete like breakdown and I end up leaving. So it gets really rough because I can only place myself around them for so long where it's like, okay, we're a month into it and you guys are just going to continue to tear me down. Like, you should never, ever try and tear someone down that's trying to better themselves.
Absolutely. And also sometimes environments can create or bring out the bad in us. Sometimes you're just around toxic people and toxicity can be contagious. Do you find that it's a little bit of that with you?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I at the point of when we started filming, I hadn't drank in like 4 months and I was trying to not drink anymore. I've been sober curious for almost a year now. And being my friend group and on this reality TV show, there's a lot of partying and a lot of drinking. And it was almost like because I wasn't participating in the drinking and all of that, it was almost like they wanted to come for me even more. I had somebody even spike my drink at one point when I was in another room. Like it was really, really, really toxic. I had to just walk away from it because it got really bad.
Did you say sober curious? And is that a thing?
Yeah. It is a thing. I think so.
So is sober curious, like sometimes you'll experiment with alcohol on occasion, but normally you don't like alcohol? How's this work?
Okay, so I went from someone who drank probably 5 times a week to someone that maybe drinks once or twice a month. And when I do drink once or twice a month, I'm really only try and have one or two, because that used to be kind of where I would go haywire. Is I would drink, and instead of having one or two, I would have 5 or 7. And that's when you're just not in your right mind at all. And on top of that, cameras were around. So I'm flirting with the idea of being completely sober, but I don't have a problem with drinking. I just don't like myself when I'm wasted.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to use that in my life. That's hilarious. In the beginning of your time on this show and leading up to now, did you feel like, and listen, we get it. I've been on enough reality TV shows to know that being the loudest voice in the room, being the most boisterous, for lack of a better term, just being the kind of like bonkers person, do you think that like you felt the need to bring that person out, and with the Hulk or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like the conduit to bring that person out was the alcohol?
Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely think the alcohol and being on the show.
Yeah.
I think it's a mixture of both of those, where I was like just always over the top, and it definitely has bit me in the ass more times than I can count. And I know that now. So I'm just trying to be better than that.
Obviously, you know what happens going down the road on the show. Obviously, you can't say too much. You don't want to ruin it. But do you feel like you're going to be vindicated by the end of the show? Like, do you think that people are going to be like, everyone was questioning her intentions of this kind of moral 180 that she's taking, but it's actually going to be like validated by the end of the season?
Yeah, I do. And there's been people that have texted me that are on my cast. The couple that were still kind of questioning it towards the end have texted me and been like, hey, I feel awful. Like, I have seen the change. So hopefully we even get another season and we can continue to see it. But yeah, by the end of the season, I feel like I end very strong, and I feel that everyone will see that my transformation and my journey is true.
Good. That makes me happy. I won't bug you about your life anymore. I'm now going to bug you about everyone else's life. Listen, we know how Kelsey feels about Juliet and her intentions with Sam. Like in the money. What are your opinions of that relationship? Do you think she's gold digging, or do you think it just is very convenient that he has a lot of money, but also she's in love with him?
I don't think she's gold digging. Okay. I know how much money Juliet makes.
Yeah.
And she definitely doesn't need Sam at all. And now on top of it, she's making money with her swimsuit line. So she really doesn't need him. I think it's an amazing benefit. And I think Sam is one of the most generous people when it comes to his money. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't hurt that he's a billionaire, but I don't think that's why she's with him at all.
There's a lot of flashback clips of some things that you've said about Kelsey in the past. My question to you is, have you ever really liked her?
No. anyone on the cast and anyone on the producing team would tell you that from day one, season one, episode one, where she comes to the bar and I hire her, I immediately was like, no. My thing about Kelsey is, she's the only one that's not from Siesta Key. She hasn't known us. Like, the rest of us have known each other for 10, 15, 20 years. And I felt, and I feel this way about any new cast member that comes in, that they're in it for not the right reasons, that they're in it for the fame and all of that. And they're not really in it to build these true friendships with us. Now, about Kelsey now, I think, you know, she does have true friendships with some people on the cast, but I think she's just a little bit more fame hungry than some of us. And that to me, just, I don't like that. I don't like that in anyone.
I mean, you write her this like really kind of thoughtful letter apologizing about what you said, yada, yada, yada. And then she rips it up and throws it in a pool. But how do you internalize that or like react to something like that?
I just think that she was unable to understand my language. You know, people can only meet you where they meet themselves. And I think it speaks a lot on where Kelsey feels about herself, treating someone that's trying to reach out to them and speak their truth. And for her to do that just shows that she doesn't really feel that way about herself. Because in somebody changing to be better, if you don't think that's true, that means you don't think you can do it yourself. It was honestly really hurtful. I ended up posting the entire letter on social media last night because I was like, okay, they only showed like 1/10 of how long that letter was. So I took pictures of it when I wrote the letter back in like November because I was nervous that she was going to try and twist the letter around, which they did. And I do tell her what I said in the letter and I asked to meet her. I thought it was really, really rude. All of them. The entire situation was rude.
Very, very smart. Taking those pictures.
Thank you.
Going forward, what are you the most excited about in terms of Siesta Key? And also adversely, what are you not super pumped to have happen going forward?
Well, I'm excited to see them on the island because I wasn't there for the beginning or maybe the whole thing. So I'm excited to see it because I've heard so much about this huge fight that breaks out on the island. And I've heard everyone's stories. And unfortunately, you know, it's on camera. And I can't wait to see the truth of what went down truly. And what I'm not excited for. I'm also not excited to see this fight because I think according to what I've been told, it's the worst like fight we've had on the show. And I'm not an advocate for violence. So I'm not necessarily excited to see violence, but I just want to know what went down because everyone's story is very different.
Well, I think everyone's right there with you and you can see it go down Wednesday nights, 8 Eastern on MTV Siesta Key. Chloe, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people follow you and find out more about you and all that stuff?
I only have Instagram for social media and it is all lowercase Chloe Troutman and my business Instagram is Concept by Chloe.
And tell everyone about Concept by Chloe that might not know what's going on.
Concept by Chloe is an online lifestyle blog where I do videos and I work together in group Zoom meetings or one-on-one where we focus on everything about mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today. I do hope that everyone realizes that your intentions are true. I think everyone can do a little bit better in their life. And I think it's a really, really admirable thing to try to do it on a reality show. Because trust me, I know from firsthand that's hard. So good on you and nice to meet you. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate your compliments and thank you for having me.
Yeah. See you, dude.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Subscribe to Wells Cast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts. It's the internet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.